أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البدحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى وقال أيضا الله نور السماوات والأرض مثل نوره كمشكات فيها مصباح وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فاطمة بضعة مني فمن أغضبها فقد أغضبني صلوات The subject of these speeches is the concept of the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and tonight I would like to talk a bit about some of the benefits of the love of Sayyidatu Nisa'il Alameen Fatimatu Zahra Salamullahi Alayha We have the authentic narration which is narrated through Salman al-Farisi rahmatullahi alayh saying that the Prophet had said to him Ya Salman Man ahabba ibnati Fatima fahuwa fil jannati ma'iya O Salman Whoever loves my daughter Fatima, he is in the paradise alongside with me. This is something extremely, extremely high. If a person can earn a position next to Rasulullah, Khatamul Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, If we end up next to him, along with him, nothing can be better. So we are talking about a personality whose love is just like I talked about the love of Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam yesterday, and its status in the eyes of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. So love of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha likewise is something which is a matter of pride for every believer. This is something we need to transfer to our generations. This is something that our children should cherish about. This is something that we should feel proud over understanding and following the concept of the love of Sayyida Zahra salamullah alayha. When someone asks the Holy Prophet, talks about, to him about the status of Hazrat Maryam salamullah alayha, Prophet says that kanat sayyidata nisa'i alamiha. She was the leader of the ladies of her time. Amma ibnati Fatima fahiya sayyidatu nisa'il alamin min al awwalin wal akhirin. As far as my daughter Fatima goes, she is the leader of the ladies of all times, from the earlier generations and the later generations. Which means, since the beginning until the end of humankind, there is not a single lady who is created by Allah that can parallel the highness of Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha. Someone for whom our sixth Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhim as-salatu wa-salam says that nahnu hujajullahi ala al-khalq. We are the hujjats, the evidences of Allah on the creatures. That means everything that Allah created, they are the leaders, they are the hujjat, they are the evidence, they are the vicegerent of Allah and commanders on behalf of Allah for every creature. نَحْنُ حُجَجُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْخَلْقِ. And then our Imam says, وَفَاطِمَةُ حُجَّتُهُ عَلَيْنَا. And Fatima is his hujjat. That means Allah's hujjat upon us. So we understand very obviously that the status of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha is superior even to the rest of the 11 Imams. 11 of our ma'sumeen, infallibles, are under the command of Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha. It's not an ordinary thing. It's something, if you think about that, if you ponder, you would realize how great. It's something we cannot fathom. No human being can measure the highness of this personality. Our Imams, who are, all of them are superior, all of our 12 Imams are, as a matter of fact, superior than 123,999 Prophets of Allah. Because they are the Khalifa, bilwasita or bila wasita, directly or indirectly the Khalifa of the most superior Messenger, Khatimun Nabiyyin, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Only the one who enjoys the similar knowledge, the knowledge of the Prophet, and the similar ma'rifat, in-depth recognition of Allah, and the similar iman, and the similar taharat, cleanliness of the soul, is entitled to sit on the place of Rasulullah. So our 12 Imams are superior than all the rest of the prophets of God other than the Holy Prophet. And we find the hadith teaches us that لَوْلَا أَنَّ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ تَزَوَّجَهَا. Our sixth Imam says, had it not been for Amir al-Mu'mineen to marry her, مَا كَانَ لَهَا كُفْوٌ Adam فَمَنْ دُونَهُ. She would have got no parallel. Isn't it right? In Islam, the marriage takes place among those who are spiritually a parallel, your spiritual counterpart and parallel to your spirituality. Not in terms of the finances, not at all. Isn't it right? That really doesn't count in Islam. What counts in Islam is somebody is your spiritual al-mu'minuna ba'dhuhum akfa'u ba'd. Mu'mins are kufr, some of them are kufr and parallel towards each other. So if somebody is parallel in terms of his or her iman and faith, and akhlaq, the morality, and taqwa, the piety, then that person is considered to be your spiritual parallel, and the marriage should happen between the parallels as a principle of Islam. So you don't marry with somebody who is spiritually not a parallel to you. That's not a suitable marriage. Isn't it right? Somebody may have more money, may have less money. That really doesn't count in Islam. Somebody belongs to such and such family, isn't it right? A very famous family, somebody doesn't belong to any, out of nowhere. Like Salman al-Farsi. Never born to Muslim parents, never born to Shia parents. Isn't it right? Salman al-Farsi comes from a family which was Majus, Zoroastrians. Isn't it right? And he reaches the level where the Prophet has said, Salman minna ahlal bayt. Salman is one of us ahlal bayt. Alima Salman al-ilm al-awwal wal-ilm al-akhir wa huwa minna ahlal bayt. Salman learned the beginning knowledge and the end knowledge, and he is one of us ahlal bayt. A person can come out of nowhere, but he can still reach that level. Isn't it right? So this is not what counts, that what family background a person belongs and what financial status a person enjoys in this life of the material world. What matters in Islam is your spiritual status. Islam is a soul-centered religion. The first thing that we think about and we focus is that what something has to do with my soul, what impact this thing is going to provide for my soul. That's the question number one we ask at every intersection of our life. So in Islam, the marriage is no different. Marriages take place among those who are spiritually parallel and equal to your iman, someone who has the similar level of iman and faith like yours, similar level of taqwa and piety and fear of Allah than yours, and similar level of moral attributes than to yourself. So the highness of Hazrat Zahra's iman and taharatul qalb, her ismat and infallibility, and her morality and her piety and taqwa is so high that Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam is telling us, لَوْلَا أَنَّ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ تَزَوَّجَهَا مَا كَانَ لَهَا كُفُّن. Had it not been for Amir al-Mu'mineen to marry her, she would have had no partner. That means no human would be eligible to marry her. Adam فَمَنْ دُونَهُ. Starting from Prophet Adam till those who came after him. Everyone included. No parallel. Everyone included includes the messengers of Allah as well. Isn't it right? They all came after Prophet Adam. The prophets, the messengers, awsiya, the deputies of the prophets, all of the deputies were ma'soom and infallible. We believe all the prophets are infallible. All of their deputies are assigned by Allah. All of them are infallible as well. So many infallible humans. Every prophet had at least one wasi and deputy. Some have several. There is no person whatsoever, whomsoever, who can parallel Her Highness. So that kind of person we are talking about. And all our 11 imams are under her command. Our Aimma were muftakhir. They were feeling proud to have to carry the Mus'haf of Fatima with them. One of the tabarrukat, one of the blessed items that are being transferred from one ma'soom to the other. And right now this Mus'haf is with Imam Al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan, Wali al-Asr, Sahib al-Asr wa al-Zaman, Al-Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wa salam. بِإِمْلَاءِ الزَّهْرَى with according to the dictation of Hazrat Zahra وَبِخَطِّ عَلِيٍّ and with the handwriting of Imam Ali. This book has been dictated by Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, and Imam Ali was the one who was writing down all those revelations that came on behalf of Allah. The angel used to arrive after the death of the Holy Prophet, and he used to talk to her directly. Look at the highness of the ruh and soul of Hazrat Zahra, that the angel can arrive on her soul. And she is called Al-Muhaddasa Li-Fatimata Tis'atu Asma Indallah Azza wa Jal. Fatima has 9 names, the hadith tells us, you know, with Allah. So one of those 9 names is Al-Muhaddasa. Al-Muhaddasa with a fatha over dal, zabar. The one who was, you know, who was the audience? She was talked to. Somebody was talking to her. Who was that somebody? That somebody was an angel sent by Allah that used to talk to her. So that's why we call her Al-Muhaddasa. So she was the audience. And she used to tell. And these things that are mentioned in Mus'haf of Fatima are something, the hadith says, it is other than the Holy Quran. This is an information other than the Holy Quran. A person who has her own Mus'haf, and our Aimma are proud. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is telling the people, some of his ashab, that Zanadiqa, Zindiq, the agnostics, would do the uprising in such and such year. And this companion says to the Imam, how come you know? He said, because that's how it is written in the Mus'haf of Fatima alayhi salam. So he can foresee the future and tell the future, all those prophecies, what is going to happen, because he has access to the Mus'haf of Fatima alayhi salam. This is the highness of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. So we find our Aimma were considering, they are under her command. Isn't it right? They're operating under the command of Hazrat Zahra. So much that there was a scholar who was telling the story. You know, in Iran, in Islamic Iran, there is a tradition when somebody dies, usually they take the dead body to the holy shrine of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. They do, you know, they take the janaza and they just rotate around the dari for tabarruk, for the sake of, you know, forgiveness of this person, seeking noor and barakat from the Imam alayhi salam. That's a tradition. So this person, when he died, his friend saw him in the dream. So what's your situation? He said, yeah, I was devastated. When I died, obviously when you die, you would know just before the time of death, what is your status? No one dies from this, away from this world, except that he learns whether he belongs to the heaven or the hell. The way the angel of death appears, comes towards us, the kind of face, the expressions that he has are totally different, 180 degrees opposite as compared to his behavior towards a believer, a mu'min, and a disbeliever. So you would understand obviously where you are heading to. And then right, not just that, some of the ahadith tell us that the mu'min sees his place in the paradise and drinks from the fountain of Kawthar before departing this world. There is no restaurant available on the Day of Judgment. There is no drive-through restaurant. Isn't it right? There is no food, water or food fountain available for the regular people. Isn't it right? When the Day of Judgment spans over 50,000 years equal to the years of this world, obviously we're going to be hungry. It's natural. We will be thirsty. There is no food available. Isn't it right? There's no water available. If you want to be, if you want to quench your thirst, we need to arrange for our food and for the drink. Right now and right here, we need to do things that will make sure that we will not go hungry on the Day of Judgment. So basically, we drink from the fountain. We do that. We have that sort of iman and taqwa that we are entitled to drink from the fountain of Kawthar through the hands of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam before dying, so we don't go hungry and thirsty. That's how it works. So we find that this person saw in the dream his friend, and he asked him, what's your situation that you died in Barzakh? How are you? How do you feel? He said, well, I was just devastated and I was hopeless because of all the sins that I did, until some of my relatives, they planned to take my janazah, my dead body, to the haram of Imam Rida alayhi salam. They took my janazah there and they started to rotate the janazah around the dharih of the Imam. Usually they did the three rotations. So in the first two rotations, Imam Rida alayhi salam didn't pay attention towards me. And I was very sad because I did so many sins that the Imam is not even paying attention towards me. Sometimes a person goes so far, isn't it right? That's what Imam Ali has said in Nahj al-Balagha, that, you know, اتَّقِلَّهَا بَعْضَ التُّقَى وَإِنْ قَلَّهَا. Have taqwa of Allah, even though it may be some taqwa, although it may be less. وَاجْعَلْ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ سِتْرًا وَإِنْ رَقَّى. And keep a curtain between you and Allah, although it may be raqiq, it may be thin. We're not supposed to rip apart all the curtains and violate everything. It does go beyond all those limits. Let's behave to some extent, you know. Let's not go and violate all the rules. Let's leave something aside, you know. Let's have some level of fear of Allah at least. Some people have gone so far in their sins that now the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, who are the mazhar of the rahmat of Allah, isn't it right? وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We haven't sent you except as a rahmat and mercy for all the dwellers of all the worlds. In Islam, we believe in several worlds before the life in this dunya, and several worlds during the life in this dunya, and several worlds after the life in this dunya. The people of dunya who are worshipping this dunya are so silly that they got stuck with the life of this dunya. They thought that's it. As if there was nothing before and nothing during this time and nothing after it. So they are rahmat, madhar of the rahmat of Allah, but still they're not ready to look, pay attention to some of the sinners because they've gone really too far. So he said two rotations happened. My family, friends, family, people, they rotated me twice around the dari. Imam didn't pay attention to me. When Imam is not paying attention to me, what does that mean? That means Allah is not paying attention to you. Isn't that right? Because they are the Khalifa of Allah. They are the mazhar and reflection of all the sifatul jalal wal jamal, all the names, attributes of majesty and beauty of Allah without exception, and all the names of Allah. So whatever they do is what Allah would do. Whatever they wish is what Allah wishes. Whatever they don't do is what Allah is not ready to do. Isn't it right? So now he said, third rotation was the last chance for my forgiveness. And that's where, when they started the third rotation, I looked towards the Imam Rida alayhi salam, and I said to him that, please forgive me for the sake of your mother Fatima al-Zahra. Now this wasita, this mention of the name of his grandmother is so dear to Imam Rida alayhi salam, to all the a'imma, that he can't ignore. Look at how the highness of Hazrat Zahra in their eyes. And this is where he said that Imam Abdullah paid tawajjuh, lutf towards this person, and he got forgiven. He said, had it not been for that lutf, nazar, that looking of rahmat of the Imam, I was devastated. So this is how dear Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha is. Let's not harm our relationship with Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha at any cost. Ya Salman, hubbu Fatima yanfa' fi mi'ati. Prophet has said to Salman that hubbu Fatima yanfa' fi mi'ati mawtin. Love of Fatima helps in 100 stations. Aysaru tilka al-mawatin, the easiest of those stations, al-maut, wal-qabr, wal-hashr, wal-mizan, was-sirat. The easiest of those stations, well, we may think these are the most difficult of those stations, but Prophet is calling these of the stations to be the most easiest ones, isn't it right? So God knows how many difficult ones do we have. So Prophet is calling these stations to be the easiest ones. At the death, at the time of death, the love of Fatima, that's where it would help. Well, qabr, in the grave. Isn't it right? That's what our scholars say. You have three friends. Your money, and your relatives and friends, and your taqwa. Your money can only be with you as long as you are alive. Nobody would bother to take his millions of dollars inside the grave. That would be silly. Isn't it right? Not an agnostic, not even a disbeliever does that. So your money can only benefit you. There's some people who are sort of running after money, 9 to 5, 9 to 7, isn't it right? Running behind money. As if that's the only important thing in their life. Nothing else to do for Islam. This is the priority. This is how much importance we hold for the mission of Imam Sahibul Zaman alayhi salam. We could have published one book of dua, one book with having the knowledge and ilm, some knowledge of Ahlul Bayt, one hadith of Rasulullah written in some book. The hadith of the Prophet tells us that paper upon which you write the hadith serves as a shield between you and the hell. This paper will be brought on the Day of Judgment on which you wrote one hadith of Rasulullah with your pen. And that paper will be serving as a shield, blocking the flames of hellfire to reach you. How many people are there to take benefit from these Nurani teachings? Isn't it right? Uktubu fa innakum lan tahfadu hatta taktubu. Write down, because you are never going to remember until you write down. We are supposed to write down the hadith. That's why I always encourage the youth, when you sit in a gathering where there's any majlisul aza, a speech, a presentation taking place, write down what you learn. That's how our ashab of Rasul, the companions of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, that's how they used to do. Whenever they used to go to visit Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, Imam al-Sadr alayhi salam, they had, you know, a pen with them. There's something to write it down, and they used to write down. That's how all these ahadith, these traditions from the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt got compiled in hundreds of thousands. Because there were people who were writing down. If it was just a hearsay, how long would you remember? This is how we need to encourage our youth to write it down. So we find that this is how the love of Hazrat Zahra is going to help. Prophet says the easiest of those mawatin, those stations, is death. Wal qabr, the grave. Wal hashr, the day of resurrection, when we are gathered together, billions of humans, a chaotic situation, nobody's even ready to recognize anybody. Yawma yafirru al-mar'u min akhihi wa ummihi wa abihi wa sahibatihi wa banihi likulli imri'in minhum yawma idhin sha'nun yughnih. Day of Judgment is a day when everyone is running away from everyone else. Son is running away from his father and mother. Mother is running away from the son. Just imagine, your real mom, a person's real mother. His wife is running away from the husband. Husband is running away from the wife. Children are running away from the parents. Parents running away from the children. Everyone is busy and engaged about his own future. What's going to happen to me? On that occasion when we are resurrected, Prophet is talking about to Salman that hubbu Fatima yanfa'u fi mi'ati mawtin. Love of Fatima helps in 100 stations, and the easiest of those is death and grave and hashr. And in the day when we are resurrected. Well, mizan, and the time of the scale, when the scale is installed. Scale is nothing but what the Holy Prophet has said to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, Anta mizanul amal, you are the scale of the actions. So it is nothing but Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. At that time, the love of Fatima alayhi salam helps. And well, Wassarat, the bridge, as we are crossing the bridge, the most unique bridge ever, thinner than the hair, darker than the night, sharper than the edge of the sword. That's where the love of Fatima is going to help. So let's do something for Hazrat Zahra. Let's give a sadaqah. Let me donate $10, $100 for the sake of Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi. Let us make a niyat tonight. I will do this something, khair and goodness for her sake, so I can please her. Because Prophet has said, isn't it right? Prophet has said that Fatima to bad'atum minni. Fatima is part of me. Faman aghdabaha faqad aghdab. Whoever angers her, angers me. Isn't it right? And in this hadith of Salman, Prophet says, Man radiyat, faman radiyat anhu, Fatima raditu anhu. Whomsoever Fatima is radi and pleased with, I am pleased with him. That's a blank check of Rasulullah. It's a blank check of the Prophet. You can, if you can please Hazrat Fatima az-Zahra sallallahu alayha, you have a confirmed pleasure of Allah and the Prophet. And then he said, وَمَنْ رَضِيْتُ عَنْهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. Whomsoever I am pleased with, Allah is pleased with him. مَنْ غَضَبَتْ عَلَيْهِ فَاطِمَا غَضِبْتُ عَلَيْهِ. Whomsoever Fatima is angry upon, I am angry upon him. وَمَنْ غَضِبْتُ عَلَيْهِ غَضَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. Whomsoever I am angry upon, Allah is angry upon him.
Now my question to you, how can a human being that high, that his or her anger and pleasure becomes the criteria of the anger and pleasure of Allah?
Ghadab and rida, anger and pleasure. Many a times we sinners, we become angry on occasions where we are not supposed to be angry. Isn't it right? We sometimes become pleased, start saying things, words, sentences to please the people at the cost of displeasing Allah and the Ahlul Bayt. Isn't it right? But we are not supposed to say that. So we, so many times, don't even know what is the pleasure of Allah and what is the anger. What angers Allah and what pleases Allah. It requires a lot of knowledge to discover. A lot of people are that ignorant, they don't even know the list of things that please Allah and the list of things that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unless and until a person is the complete mazhar and reflection of all the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without exception, and all the sifat and attributes of Allah without exception, then without that, the person will never be eligible to reach the status that Allah is pleased over her pleasure and angry over her anger. So this hadith of the Prophet is a dalil that Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha is the madhar of every single name of Allah without exception. So he knows everything that pleases Allah, she knows everything that pleases Allah, and she knows everything that displeases Allah. And after knowing, she is practicing. So now if she is angry, that means Allah is angry. If she is pleased, then Allah is pleased. This is how, this shows her madhariyat, that she is reflecting Allah. This is the highness of her. This doesn't come free of cost. Imam al-Mushtaba alayhi salatu wasalam is the Ravi and narrator of the narration that I saw my mother, you know, raka'atan qa'imatan.
I saw my mother, in other words, you know, madmuna riwayah, standing in the mihrab, doing the ruku and sujood
throughout the night.
Imam Hassan is the rawi and narrator. I saw my mom standing up throughout the night in the mihrab, in the altar, doing these ibadat, ruku and sajda, you know, and praying for mu'mineen and mu'minat,
naming the people one by one, mentioning the names of mu'mineen and mu'minat one by one, and doing dua for them throughout the night. And Imam Hassan says, لِمَا لَا تَدْعِينَ لِنَفْسِكِ كَمَا تَدْعِينَ لِغَيْرِكِ. Why are you not doing dua for your own self the way you do dua for them?
Here talking about why is Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayha that high in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And she replies back to her son, Bunayya al-Jar thummad-dar.
My dear son, the neighbor and then the house. That means you need to give
preference to the neighbor over your own self. This is what our scholars say. If you want your dua to be accepted, definitely all of us have our hawa'ij. Who doesn't have hajat towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? One of the best ways for us to get our hajat and dua accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever you have a need and hajat, think hard. Is there a mu'min around in the community whom I can help? Because if you fulfill the hajat of other mu'min brothers and sisters, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to fulfill your hajat. That's the way it works.
مَنْ كَانَ فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي حَاجَتِهِ.
Whoever is working for fulfillment of the hajat and need of his fellow mu'min brother, Allah works for fulfillment of his hajat and need. That's the way it works. And no need to worrying about and running here and there. Just think, is there any service I can do for any mu'min brother out there in the community? Without the mu'min brother coming to your doorstep and begging for your help, that's not the right way. You already let him be humiliated. He came all the way humiliated in himself in front of you, isn't it right? He's already embarrassed. That's not the right way. That's what our Urafa say. If the faqir, if the beggar, if the needy person had a bit more of sabr and patience, the Kareem, the generous person, would have himself gone to him. If he had just waited for a while, for a bit more, he had a little bit more sabr and patience. And if the Kareem person had a bit more of karamatun nafs and saha and generosity, he would have already reached the poor person before him stepping out of his house. That's how it works both ways.
From the faqir, you know, a sabr is ahsan from all the, anyone can do the sabr. وَلَكِنَّهُ مِنَ الْفُقَرَاءِ ahsan. الصَّبْرُ حَسَنٌ مِنْ كُلِّ أَحَدٍ. Sabr is good to be done by everyone. وَلَكِنَّهُ مِنَ الْفُقَرَاءِ ahsan. But the same sabr and patience, if exercised by the poor people, it's better.
Everyone is supposed to do sabr, but for them it's better.
So likewise, a saha'u min kulli ahadin hasan. Generosity is good for everybody. Walakinnahu min al-aghniya'i ahsan. But the rich people, if they show generosity,
it's better. You have, in this world, the world of matter has limited resources. Not unlimited. Nothing of the world of matter is unlimited. Is that right?
So when you grab a piece of pie, then you are going to play a role in the life of the rest of the human beings, positively or negatively. So make sure you are holding up, you know, the amanat and entrusted trust of Allah. That's not your money.
This is how the hypocrites and munafiqeen in the time of Rasulullah and munafiqeen in the history used to say. This is what Qarun used to say. إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. I'm the one who got this money with my knowledge. I worked hard to get this money. I made it.
No.
It's not you who made the money. Allah is the one who gave you the money.
So many a times you work hard, overtime, extra hours, you never get paid. You think your hard work pays you? There are some people who shave their beard to please their bosses. You think your boss is your razib and sustainer? There are some people who take off their hijab to please the employer. So you think your employer is your razib and sustainer? Is that what you think? Every problem that we face in our practical lives takes its roots to one or several problems that we face in the usuluddin. There's something gone wrong in the iman, that's why you find the behavior is like this. Usuluddin and furuuddin, the belief and the practice, are inseparable. So we find we need to have tawakkul and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah qad takaffala bir-rizq. Allah is kafil. He's the sponsor. Isn't it right? He provides the risk to everyone. Isn't it right? Remember the story of Prophet. Remember the story of Prophet Musa, who was commanded by Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala to go to the waterfront, and he went there, and Allah asked him to strike his asa and stick on the water, and he did, and the water opened up until the water bed was visible, and there was a stone. And Allah commanded Prophet Musa to strike his asa and stick again on the stone. And he did. And the stone opened up. And inside the stone there was another small stone. And Allah commanded Prophet Musa to strike his asa and stick on that small stone, which was inside the bigger stone. And he did. And the small stone opened up, and there was a tiny blind insect with a little bit of food in its mouth. And the zikr, the phrase of remembrance of Allah, that insect, Quran says everything does this tasbih of Allah, isn't it right? وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِحَهُمْ. There isn't anything except that it glorifies the praise of its Lord, but you people don't understand. So what do we understand? What do we know? We humans, what we know is a fraction of what exists. Just because we don't hear, we don't know so much. Isn't it right? Just because we don't hear or don't see, doesn't give us a license to deny. Just because I don't hear, who am I? What's the level of my knowledge? Everything does the zikr, isn't it right? This tiny insect, which was busy in doing this zikr and phrase of remembrance of Allah, oh my Lord, who did not forget the risk and sustenance of me, a blind insect living inside two stones. How would you forget the sustenance of the humankind? That was the zikr and phrase of remembrance that was repeated one after the other, repeated by him, by that insect constantly. You look at that insect, what he is saying. And then you look at some of those human beings who are selling their values and principles for pennies. And you don't even get those pennies, FYI. You get the pennies because those pennies were destined to reach you. And what was destined to reach you would never require you to sell out your faith, because it's bound to reach you. It would have reached you without you selling the faith. Isn't it right? It's a matter of understanding. Some people think they are smart. Isn't it right? We can never outsmart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you find that Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, what I was saying to you, that Imam Hassan is narrating the narration that I saw my mom throughout the night standing in the altar and mihrab, doing the ruku and sujood and praying for the fellow mu'mineen by mentioning their names one by one without doing dua for her own self. Can you imagine? Why, some of us, when we do the dua, the first thing we ask is about our own self. We are talking about why the Nuraniyat of Hazrat Zahra is that high. Why is she so beloved in the eyes of Allah? Let's try to understand some reasons. You need to give preference to others when you start doing the dua over your own self. When you give preference to other mu'mineen, the angels of Allah start doing dua for you. Now, what is a better option? The infallible angels do dua for you, or you yourself do dua for yourself? So she's not even doing dua for herself at all. The total ignoring her own self. Selfless behavior towards Allah. Someone who's drowned in the love of Allah. That kind of person can do it. Who is ready to ignore everything of her own for the sake of Allah. Everything of her own. Imam Ali alayhi salam brings a poor person to the house and asks Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha about some food. Is there any food in the house? And she says, "Ma indana illa qutus sabiyya." We don't have except the food for a baby. And my food is so less, it could suffice only a baby, not an adult person. But then she says, "Walakinna nu'siru bihi daifana." Well, we are going to give isar, preference to our guest over ourselves. This is Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. Whatever is there, she is giving away that much, not keeping even a bit of that for herself. This is how the Nuraniyat comes. This is how the Nuraniyat comes when in another occasion Imam Ali alayhi salam is in need of some money and he takes the chadar of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha to that rich Jewish guy in Medina. Isn't it right to borrow some money that he needed? And this Jewish person takes the chadar of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha or cloth, different narrations, and he gives some money, lends some money to Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he puts the chadar of Hazrat Zahra in a room inside the house. And his wife happens to go inside the room and she sees a huge noor and divine light coming out of that chadar. And she was astonished. Never saw that situation ever in her life. And she rushes to her husband and, you know, and they come and they see in 70, the narration says, 70 of their family members were gathered and all of them witnessed the noor coming out from the chadar of Sayyidah Zahra salamullah alayha, and 70 Jews convert into Islam. This is the Nuraniyat of the chadar of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha. We're not talking about her Nuraniyat. That's unfathomable, unthinkable for us. This is just one chadar of hers. Is enough to convert 70 people by looking at it. Yeah. These are values that we learn, you know, how we need to do dua. How do we need to give preference to our guest, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir fal yukrim jarahu. Whoever believes in Allah and the final day must respect. فَلْيُكْرِمْ لِيُكْرِمْ ضَيْفَهُ, must respect his guest. Islam has values. We have to respect our guest. Allah says to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, please say salawat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, إِنْ أَكْرَمْتَ ضَيْفَكَ فَأَنْتَ حَبِيبِي. If you respect your guest, فَأَنْتَ حَبِيبِي, you are my beloved. وَإِنْ أَكْرَمْتَ ضَيْفِي, and if you honor my guest, فَأَنَا حَبِيبُكَ, I am your beloved. I repeat, if you respect your guest, فَأَنْتَ حَبِيبِي, you are my beloved. That means Allah would love you. وَإِنْ أَكْرَمْتَ ضَيْفِي, and if you respect my guest, فَأَنَا حَبِيبُكَ, that means I am your beloved. That means now then Hazrat Musa alayhi salam loves Allah. And he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is your guest? And Allah replies back, the one that you invite is your guest. The one who comes to your house without invitation is my guest. Now look at our behavior, how we do. We schedule the appointment for our guest to fit at a time we don't end up giving him lunch or dinner.
So he ends up showing in the house at a time which is the most suitable, so it doesn't come at a time of lunch or dinner, so I can just escape all those hassles, isn't it right?
These people are mahroom, deprived from khair. They don't understand what khair is.
When guest comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at how the Ahlul Bayt are dealing with their guests. We are talking about their nuraniyat and the reasons why Hazrat Zahra has so much nur. Isn't it right? Some of those countless reasons.
So, you know, when the guest comes, you know, yati bi rizqihi. You are the one who are providing the risk to the guest. He comes with his own risk. فَإِذَا إِرْتَحَلَ إِرْتَحَلَ بِذُنُوبِ أَهْلِهِ. When the guest departs, he departs with the sins of the people of the house. He takes away all the sins of all the people of this family with him. So you become sinless. How mahroom and deprived these people are who are dealing like this with their guests. Isn't it right? Dealing how we deal with our family members. Silatul Rahim. Another very common illness of the soul, frequently found in the Islamic communities, generally speaking. Isn't it right? Breaking away from our relatives. Yeah, Maulana, he did this and this and this to me. He was so abusive in this language. He said this and this and this to me. Well, yes, that's true. But does that justify for you to break away? Breaking away from our relative is still haram. Isn't it right? When somebody asks Rasulullah, which sadaqah, ayyu sadaqate afdal? Which of the sadaqat is the most superior? And Prophet says, ala zirrahim al-kashih. That means giving sadaqah to that family member of yours who has hatred, animosity towards you. If you have one relative of yours who hates you, has animosity towards you, give sadaqah to him. That is the most superior sadaqah in the hadith of Rasulullah. Where does a Prophet in Ahlul Bayt want to take us? What a high status. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for providing us these leaders. Isn't it right? But some people are stuck with the material belongings of, temporary belongings of this dunya. إِثَّاقَلْتُمْ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ Quran says. Some people become so heavy, they got stuck with the earth. And some people are doing flight. They are flying up. They are flying up towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find Imam Ridha alayhi salam is teaching us in his hadith that we learn from the hadith of the Imam, there's 1 year remaining in the life of a person and he performs silatul rahim, staying in touch, intact with your relatives. There's 1 year remaining in the life of a person and he performs the fariza, the duty of silatul rahim, staying in touch. You don't break away. Even if they break away from you, you don't do that. Let them break away, but you don't break away from them. There's 1 year remaining in the life of a person and he performs silatul rahim, staying in touch with the relatives, and Allah increases 30 years in his life. And Imam Ridha alayhi salam says that sometimes this also happens. In other words, a person has 30 years remaining in his lifespan, 30, and he performs qati'atul rahim, breaking away from his relatives, and he dies. So nothing is coincidental. We in the Islam of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam don't believe bil ittifaq. Nothing is coincidental. Everything is well calculated, well thought, based on divine wisdoms and reasons. Whether we discover or we fail to discover, that's a different story. Isn't it right? But there are reasons for why things are happening. Why I lose the barakat in my life. Why somebody dies in an accident in the car on the freeway. Why somebody ends up having a heart attack all of a sudden? There are reasons. There are reasons for everything which is taking place in our life. Allah is adil. He is not. Allah is always just. So we find that
Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha is the narration says that Allama al-Amini rahmatullahi alayh has mentioned in his book that kana Adam wa Hawa jalisayni wa ja'ahuma Jibra'il. Adam and Hawa were sitting and Jibra'il came to them. وأتى بهما إلى قصر من ذهب وفضة. And Jibra'il brought them to a palace made of gold and silver. وشرفاته من زمرد. Its pillars were made of emerald. فيه سرير من ياقوتة حمراء. Inside that was a bed made of red ruby. وعلى سرير قبة. Over the bed was a dome. Min Nurin, a dome of light, divine light. Fiha Suratun ala Ra'siha Tajun. In that means in the dome was a face. On the head of that face was a crown. Wafi Udhuniha Qurtane min Lu. And in the ear of that face was the earrings of pearl. وفي عنقهما في عنقها طوق من نور. And in its neck was a talk, a necklace of نور. فتعجبوا من نورها. Adam and Hawa, they both were surprised and shocked when they saw that. Prophets, all of them are made from نور, as a matter of fact. Isn't it right? Angels, all of them are made of نور. But when Prophet is surprised because now he is looking at a nur which is higher in intensity than his own nur, so obviously there is a room of surprise. So hatta anna Adam. So now the narration says, "Qala Jibra'il, qala ma hadhihi as-sura." Adam said to Jibra'il, "What's this face?" And Jibra'il replies back, "Fatima alayha salatu wa salam." That's the face of Fatima alayhi salam. Wattaju abuha, and the crown is her father. Wattawqu zawjaha, and the necklace is her husband. Wal qurtani al hasanu wal husayn, and the earrings are Hassan and Husayn alayhim assalam. فَرَفَعَ آدَمُ رَأْسَهُ إِلَى الْقُبَّةِ فَوَجَدَ خَمْسَةَ أَسْمَاءٍ مَكْتُوبَةٍ مِّن نُورٍ. Adam raised his head and he found five names written in Noor. And it read like this: أَنَا الْمَحْمُودِ, I am the praised one, وَهَذَا مُحَمَّدْ. And وَأَنَا الْأَعْلَى, I am the greatest, وَهَذَا عَلِي. وَأَنَا الْفَاطِرُ وَهَذِهِ فَاطِمَةٌ, I am the creator and this is Fatima. وَأَنَا الْمُحْسِنُ, I am the one who does good towards everyone. Isn't it right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who initiates the good. He is the good doer. وَهَذَا الْحَسَنُ. وَمِنِّ الْإِحْسَانِ, and the good comes from me. وَهَذَا الْحُسَيْنِ. فَقَالَ جِبْرَئِيلُ يَا آدَمُ احْفَظْ هَذِهِ الْأَسْمَاءَ فَأَنْتَ تَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهَا. Jibra'il said to Adam, remember these names because you will stand in need of these names. Now that Adam was sent down out of that garden, Adam alayhi salam obviously came at a different location than Hawa, and he cried for 300 years. He's part of the five al-bakka'una khamsa, hadith teaches us. People who cried a lot, we call them al-bakka'un. There are five humans in the history. One of those five is Prophet Adam. He cried for 300 years in a row, straight. So after 300 years,
Isn't it right? That's where Jibreel came back and reminded him with the names of Al-Khamsa Al-Tayyiba, Panchtane Pak. And that is where Hazrat Adam alayhi salam prayed with the wasita of these five greatest personalities, and his tawbah was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At least we should train our children in a way that they are able to remember the names of our imams in the grave. Isn't it right? There are some of the youth, you talk to them and they know the names of the basketball players, but they are unable to tell the names of the 14 ma'sumeen in a row. These are our, the basic values of Islam, isn't it right? If my son is not able to even tell the names of the imams in the grave, obviously the punishment is going to start then and there. As a straight flight to Jahannam. These are very important things. Isn't it right? This shows how much importance we hold for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. This is how when we hold this importance and do tamassuk. Obviously tamassuk, when we say grabbing on, holding on to something. My teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Hafizahullah, he says when ma in tamassaktum bihima, the hadith of Sakhalain from the Prophet says, as long as you hold on to these two, that means Quran and Ahlul Bayt, lan tadhillu ba'di, you will never be misguided. Wa innahuma lan yaftariqa, and those two will never get separated from each other. Hatta yarida alayyal hawl, until they meet me at the fountain. That means fountain of Kawthar. So, grabbing on, holding on. My teacher was saying, what's the meaning of holding on? If I am in a agar mandar tu chahe tabi'at basham. If I am inside the well of my attachments with the material belongings of this dunya, I am stuck in the world of matter and its attachments. I have a love affair with the belongings of dunya. Everything that I have in my life, I am attached to it. So I am as if the Urufa interpret this situation of a human, as if this person is stuck inside a well of matter. He's not even exposed to all the external world out there, all the expanse of the world out there. This person is stuck in the world of matter. Now, if you want to get guided, what does tamassuk, holding on, means? If somebody puts a rope inside the well to take you out of the well and save you, give salvation to you, you just hold on to the rope and you do nothing, will you be saved? Of course not. You will continue to be inside the well. Unless after holding on you do amal, action. You start moving upwards with your actions. That's how you will save yourself. Just holding on doesn't mean that I verbally and orally claim I love Ahlul Bayt and I believe in him, but my actions are not certifying what I'm saying. This is not called tamassuk. That's ridiculous. You will continue to be inside the well unless after holding on you start moving up yourself. Isn't that right? So just claiming the love of Ahlul Bayt doesn't take us nowhere until we do the amal and get out of this well of the attachment of matter and get attached towards the Noor. A person can be so far away from Noor, so far away that despite the fact Husayn ibn Ali is doing itmamul hujjat after itmamul hujjat after itmamul hujjat, fulfilling the evidences one after the other, but people are blind at heart that they are even ready to ignore the son of Rasulullah and Ashura. Isn't it right? How far a person, it takes for a person to go, how far from the Noor to behave like this? Imam Hussein is bringing a 6-month-old baby. Isn't it right? And asking for water. And no law in the universe can consider a baby at fault. Look at how far a person can get in the stone-heartedness. Worse than stone-heartedness. Because among the stones they are sun. إِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ. Among the stones there are some stones that you find the stones open up, break or rip open, and the fountain of water burst out of the stone, of such a soft thing like water, comes out of such a hard thing as a rock, as a stone. But the hearts of these people did not melt. They are worse than stone hearted. Isn't it right? And now Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam comes to a time that when Imam al-Hussein is shaheed, his janaza is lying over the Maidan of Karbala. No. Not over the Maidan of Karbala. Actually, it is raised over the arrows. The janaza of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein is raised over the arrows. And Hazrat Fidda salamullah alayha, she comes and tells to Hazrat Zainab that, alayhi salam, I have a great big news for you. And she replies back, which I am paraphrasing these narrations in my words, that there is no news remaining big for me. Obviously, after the shahadat of Imam al-Husayn, alayhi salam, nothing remains big for Sayyida Zainab. And she tells her, Fidda tells her, that they are planning to crush the janaza of Abi Abdullah al-Husayn under the hooves of the horses. That was the only janaza, brothers and sisters, that was lying there over the Maidan of Karbala, because the rest of the dead bodies have been taken by the Qabail, by the tribesmen who came and took away the janaza. But because Imam al-Hussein didn't have a tribe there around to support and assist, his janaza is the only one which is lying there over the Maidan of Karbala. I can't understand what was the sorrow at that time, how much mahzoon Hazrat Zainab was when you hear that the only janaza is the janaza of your brother, which is about to be crushed under the hooves of the horses. فَقَامَ عَشْرَةٌ مِّنَ الْفَوَارِسِ 10 of the horses are now prepared, so that they can crush the ribs of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. This body of Imam al-Hussein, this face of Imam al-Hussein, the people were witnessing how Prophet was kissing the face of Imam al-Hussein. Isn't that right? Now the janaza is crushed under the hooves of the horses, and the time arrives when this caravan is now moving from Karbala towards the Kufa. And we find that Sayyida Zainab is the one who is no one else but her, who is helping everyone to ride the animals. She is helping everyone. The only one remains unhelped is her own self. She is the one who is remaining. Now there is nobody to support, to provide assistance to Sayyida Zainab, so she can ride the camel comfortably. You remember how Abdullah ibn Sanan has narrated. He comes to Medina on the same day when Imam al-Hussein was departing the city, his hometown. And Abdullah ibn Sanan says, I saw Imam al-Hussein is sitting next to the door of his house, and the ladies of Ahlul Haram were exiting the door one after the other, riding the camels. Then Qasim ibn al-Hasan is there assisting, Abul Fadl Abbas al-Islam is there assisting, Ali ibn al-Akbar is there assisting, until I find that one lady came, and these people, they were, then she was helped, and she was so much respected. I asked, who is this lady? And they told me, this is Umm Kulthum, the daughter of Ali. And Abdullah ibn Sanan says, then I saw the situation, that all of a sudden a lady came out of the house, and Abi Abdullah al-Hussein stood up from his place in the respect of that lady. And all those young people, Abul Fadl Abbas, Qasim ibn al-Hasan, Ali ibn al-Akbar, everyone rushes to help this lady. And I asked and I was told, this is the elder daughter of Ali, Zainab al-Kubra. This is Zainab. Look at the respect she was given. Look at the respect. And now on 11th of Muharram, when this caravan was departing towards Kufa, Sayyida Zainab is standing alone. No one is there to help her. At that time, she did not turn towards Aun and Muhammad. She did not turn towards Ali ibn al-Akbar. She did not turn towards Qasim ibn al-Hasan. She did not even turn towards Imam al-Hussein for help. She turned towards Abul Fadl al-Abbas. Remember how Abbas helped the Zainab. And now this caravan is moving towards Kufa. And look at how the Ummah has behaved towards the Ahl al-Bayt, the daughters and the children of Ali and Fatima. How the people of Kufa, the Kufans, are treating them. You know, there were women standing in the bazaar and there were some of them standing over the roofs of the houses watching the ladies, the daughters of Ali and Fatima without the hijab. And some of the ladies out there started to cry. And Umm Kulsum said, look at the statement of Umm Kulsum, تَقْتُلُنَا رِجَالُكُمْ وَتَبْكِي عَلَيْنَا نِسَاؤُكُمْ. Your men kill us and your women cry over us. She's actually slapping on the face of the people of Kufa. You are the ones who killed us and now your women are crying over us. Look at the azmat of Umm Kulsum. And we find that some of the ladies in Kufa, they brought the dates of sadaqa and started to distribute to the Ahl al-Bayt. Umm Kulsum said, inna sadaqata alayna muharramatun. Sadaqa is haram upon us. She takes away the date away from the hand of some of the kids. Now we find that Umm Habiba used to be a servant in the house of Mawla Abi Abdullah al-Husayn in Medina, long time ago. And then she moved to Kufa. Now Umm Habiba comes forward. Of course, she did not recognize Sayyidah Zainab. And she comes forward and she said to Sayyidah Zainab, you know, my dates are not the dates of sadaqah. My dates that I gave is the date of nadr. And Sayyidah Zainab asked her, what was your nadr? And she replies, may Allah give me the tawfiq and opportunity to visit, to go for the ziyarat of Mawla Abi Abdullah al-Husayn. And Sayyidah Zainab, when she heard that remark, Sayyidah Zainab said, no need to go to Medina, because Zainab herself, in other words, Zainab came to your town. When she hears that, she became so anxious. She said, where is my Zainab? When did she come? And we find, as the Zainab said, if you look at her, would you recognize her? Of course, she said, why not I recognize? Because she's my lady. Why won't I recognize? Hazrat Zainab said to her that I am Zainab. When she introduces herself, Umm Habiba still did not recognize. Obviously, there's a room for her not to recognize, because certainly she hasn't seen Sayyidah Zainab without hijab. She hasn't seen Sayyidah Zainab tied up in ropes. She hasn't seen Sayyidah Zainab as a captive in her life. She has a room not to recognize. And then she says to Sayyidah Zainab, my Zainab had an alamat, an indication. She never used to get separated from her brother Hussein. How much love Hazrat Zainab had towards Imam al-Hussein. Unthinkable. Never used to get separated from Imam al-Hussein. When Zainab hears that remark, Sayyidah Zainab points towards the head of Imam al-Hussein over the spear. And that is the head of Hussein. Zainab still did not get separated from him.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite the ayat al-kareema 5 times for all the mu'mineen who have hajat, especially those who are ill, especially those who have requested for dua, and especially the families of shuhada, the martyrs, in all the innocent civilians martyred in Syria, in Lebanon, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, and everywhere else, Bahrain, and all the mustad'afin and mahrumin and mazlumin, especially those who are defending the haram of Sayyida Zainab sallallahu alayha. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Amman yujibul mubtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. Amman yujibul mubtarra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء يا حسين